Hi, and welcome to Parker Podcast, where you can find all of the latest news, campus happenings, and admissions information. I'm your host, Courtney Renato from the admissions team. Today we have two special guests from our science department, upper school physics teacher, Dr. J.P. Pierce, and upper school chemistry teacher, as well as our science department head, Dr. Hima Joshi. So welcome, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
So I wanted to start off getting to know each of you, because you both have such interesting stories, both at and before Parker. So Hima, why don't you start us off? Let us know about what were you doing before Parker? How long have you been here?
Well, let's see. So I got my doctorate in chemistry in 2001 from UCSD, and I taught at the college level for 8 years before coming to Parker. And my transition to Parker was very fun for me because in going from teaching college level students to high school level students, I really had a chance to prepare students at the high school level for what they were going to face at the college level. And that was really, I found that really satisfying. This is my 10th year at Francis Parker School, and I teach all things chemistry. I think I first realized that I loved to teach when I was a graduate student because I was a teaching assistant, and that was the best part of my day. I love teaching students of all levels, and I'm really having a good time.
And Dr. J.B. Pierce.
Oh, great. Thank you. Good morning. I started out, in physics. When I was in graduate school, I was working on research on ultra-thin films and surfaces of materials. So this was at University of Tennessee and at Oak Ridge National Laboratory. So I was working on how the magnetic properties of materials change when you make them very thin. And by very thin, I just mean 1 to, you know, maybe 8 atomic layers, some very thin films. And then also during that time, I had opportunities to teach undergraduates. So I would teach some of the introductory physics courses, or like pre-med physics courses, or the laboratory sections that went along with those. And then I knew kind of in the back of my mind that I would teach at some point, but in kind of wrapping up my postdoc and in making plans to relocate to San Diego, I made my way to Parker campus, to make a long story short, helping out a couple of students that were having trouble in physics and in middle school math. And so I worked with a few students here on campus. And to me, when I first walked on the campus, it really had this vibe of almost like a little liberal arts college, mm-hmm. which is yeah. where I was an undergrad. And I just really did like that feel and that atmosphere. And so that's what ended up, that's one of the reasons why I was really drawn to this school. And so I've now been here, it will be 11 years in January.
Fantastic. And what's your favorite part about Parker?
Oh, well, I love the students. They have a lot of energy. They're really polite. When I first started teaching here and they were walking out the door after my first class, they said, "Thank you, Dr. Joshi. Thank you, Dr. Joshi. Thank you, thank you." And I'm like, "Wow, that's really nice." I'm like, "Thank you for what?" You know, and it's cool. They still do that. They still do that every day. Thank you. It's really nice that they appreciate that 50 minutes that we've had together was an experience that I've designed for them to learn. Mm-hmm. I love my colleagues. I love the fact that I can be next door to JP and he and I can go into each other's rooms and banter about chemistry and physics. I love the collaborative nature of the faculty. It's so intellectually stimulating to talk to my faculty colleagues.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I would pick maybe two things. I think from the student side, I think my favorite thing, I think this school does a great job of giving kids a chance to find something that they really like and can get good at. So just kind of explore a bit and pick one or two things that you really care about and explore those things and use that to build your self-confidence and get good at something and get ready to, you know, to go off to college and be an adult. So I think that is one just fantastic thing about the school. And then from the teacher side, what I really value is the, I think there's the right amount of autonomy. So those of us that are, you know, trained in a particular field will then know what it takes for a student to maybe you know, become competent in the field? What are things that they need to know to be able to reach a place where they can then maybe even be creative in that field? And so I think we're able to do that because we have some freedom to design our lessons and our course objectives to get the kids where we know they need to get. And it also keeps me as a teacher excited about what I'm doing. You know, the fact that I've got that, you know, that wiggle room, that freedom to do things in, you know, in a way that I know is going to help those kids.
So I'm gonna pat ourselves on the back here because I think we have a reputation of having a pretty strong science department at Parker. But I'm interested, so for the kids who are, they already love STEM, they're really excited about it, how do we keep them engaged while also getting them prepared for this really rigorous upper school program?
So you're thinking about it from the perspective of the middle school students and how they get prepared.
Correct.
From the faculty perspective, as a department chair, I can tell you that we collaborate between divisions quite a bit. So the middle school science teachers and the upper school science teachers talk quite a bit about what's going on in our classrooms, how the middle school experience feeds into the upper school experience. And as a department chair, I've had the opportunity to go and watch everybody teach. And I think that's really a strength. Wouldn't you say, JP, that we have a lot of collaborative efforts going across divisions?
I think within the science department, and then also between, for example, just since we're kind of are, you know, coming at it from this, you know, angle of kind of focusing on STEM, but working with the math department as well,
yeah.
and just realizing, you know, what it is going to take to get the kids to, again, build up the skills where they can reach a place where they're confident in what they're doing, and, you know, not afraid of math and physics and chemistry and bio anymore.
And would you say that that approach applies to, so I, you know, I think of myself as a student, I put myself in from a very early age in the I'm not good at math or science box. How do you teach kids who feel that way about STEM?
I think one of our strengths is that we have opportunities for students to engage in science at various levels. And I'll use my discipline as an example, but this goes across the board. JP could probably give many examples, definitely can give many examples from physics, but I'll use chemistry as an example. So in the upper school, we have essentially four different chemistry courses. So students take chemistry typically in 10th grade, and at the 10th grade level, there's chemistry and there's advanced chemistry. And depending on the student's preparation, they'll take one of those two things. So in the chemistry course, we will engage students who, some of whom love chemistry. They haven't had the preparation that the other students have, so they need to come up to speed a little bit more before they pursue the more advanced options. Some of the students will say they're not that into science. What I tell them is you're not that into science yet, because, you know, you haven't learned chemistry yet, but after you've learned chemistry, you're just going to love science. But we find ways to engage them where we pull in pop culture examples. So, for example, with our chemistry students, Natalie Devinier and I just did Shark Tank, and the students had to pitch a project to the sharks that was going to explain an atomic model in a product that was going to appeal to the general public. So we had some kids make some prototype Schrodinger's cat toys, and that was their product. Okay, and so this was the chemistry class. So we have the regular chemistry, we have the advanced chemistry. After students take those courses, they can pursue electives in chemistry if they are prepared and they wish to. And examples of that, of course, include AP chemistry, but then we also have honors organic chemistry. And that, as you probably know, is not a class that's typically taught in high school. Honors or organic chemistry is not typically encountered by a student until the second year of college. So that right there gives you an example of how we have levels of chemistry. We have levels of biology and physics as well. So I don't really think that a student has to feel like they have labeled themselves a science person or not. Mm-hmm. I think that they can engage in various ways. And there are also opportunities extracurricularly as well. But I'll let JP weigh in on this as well.
I think another approach that I feel is fair to say kind of spans all the disciplines, not just physics, but also biology and chemistry, is to build the kids' confidence. It's funny, you don't really build the kids' confidence by, say, always just throwing something very simple at them and then have them get past that. The kids are bright enough to know, and including students who don't, say, see themselves as science people and that kind of thing. The kids are bright enough to know when they've really accomplished something or done something that, you know, that took a little bit of grit and that then maybe actually has a payoff that has given them some kind of new ability. The kids are bright enough to see that. And so I think across all the disciplines, we try to find ways to build their confidence by, you know, having them pull off or accomplish something that they can look back at and say, you know what, that did take a little bit of a push, but now that I've done this thing, I'm actually now able to do a few other things, and they mm-hmm. see themselves getting kind of more powerful in that sense. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what helps to set them off and prepare them to be either, you know, A, just happier about being in a science class, and then, you know, B, just to, you know, realize that now they're more able to tackle whatever comes next.
Mm-hmm. I also think that when students go through that process of encountering something that they think they can't solve, and then really having to think through it, they engage their creativity. Mm-hmm. And I think there's often a misconception that there are the creative disciplines on one side and there's science and math on the other side. And it's in those situations that students realize, no, actually, scientific problem solving is a creative process. Mm-hmm. And so if I think of myself as a creative person, I don't have to not think of myself as a science person. That mm-hmm. in fact, I can leverage my creativity mm-hmm. to engage in problem solving. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Along those lines, it's funny. Some you'll often hear before folks have reached, say, a certain level in their science courses, you'll hear people say, oh, I'm not really a numbers person or something. I'm more of a spatial visual person or something like this. But yet when they, once they get to, for instance, Dr. Joshi's organic course or my physics C course, you end up realizing that you really do need to bring, you know, you need to be a 3D spatial visual person to, for instance, understand how these organic molecules look or how electric and magnetic fields look. So the kids end up being surprised that some of those other abilities or skills come to, you know, can be brought to bear in science and, in fact, are necessary.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And so, you know, you talked briefly about us offering OChem. I know we offer some higher level physics classes. We have AP Physics 1 and 2. Is there anything above that?
Yeah, well, there's a course called AP Physics C that was taught for several years before I came to campus, and I've continued to teach this one. It's called AP Physics C, Mechanics and Electricity and Magnetism. So what we do is teach, several good schools do this, where you teach the mechanics part for the first half of the year, and then the electricity and magnetism part the second, and then the students will actually take two AP exams. What we did this year, because what we found, and I should thank my colleague in robotics, Ryan Griggs, for this, but many more students have become interested in engineering and will kind of be, I hesitate to use a phrase, but almost like late bloomer, like maybe they realize junior year, like, gosh, I actually really do like this, our senior year, I really like this mechanical engineering, and I wish I could take physics at this high level, but maybe I hadn't quite made it to the level of math needed to take that highest course. Well, so to meet that demand, we decided to run only the mechanics part for a full year. So I continue to teach that faster paced version that does mechanics and electricity and magnetism. But this year we added a section that is just the mechanics version. And what that's done is it's given access to that material to more students and to those students who, haven't made it, for instance, all the way to AP Calculus BC. And it's just opened the doors to a few more students that, you know, then will then take off to become, you know, may choose to become engineers.
That's really interesting. And Dr. Joshi, is there any other, you know, classes that you think are really for the kids who, prospective students who are listening to this, hopefully, and are getting excited at the prospect of engineering and OCHEM, are there any other courses that you think might interest them that are unique to Parker?
Sure. Well, we live in San Diego, so we have a marine science course, and that's a wonderful course. It is taught by Jillian Dewar. I think the wonderful thing about our electives is that we have them spread across the sciences. So we have them in physics, we have them in chemistry, we have them in the biological sciences. And another example in the biological or like chemical arena would be AP Environmental Science. So we do have the standard APs, but on top of those, we have these other courses like Honors Organic and Marine Science. So we have, it's very common for a sophomore student to be taking, for example, advanced chemistry at the same time that they're taking, AP Physics 2, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
You'll see that all the time. I have students who are in my Honors Organic Chemistry class who are also taking bioadvanced or AP Bio at the same time, which is a mm-hmm. fantastic synergy.
Mm-hmm. A unique course that we have here also is this, it's called Honors Engineering, taught by Ryan Griggs. And he ends up, the students end up throughout that course learning, for example, to use what's called SolidWorks, computer-aided drafting, and then the 3D print. And the idea is to eventually learn how to go through a design process and actually make something that's functional, and you know, really get this first exposure to the engineering cycle, prototyping, and this sort of thing. And so that's a relatively new course here at Parker.
I think that really speaks to the fact that we've been able to introduce several new courses over the past few years. Really speaks to the strength of our program. Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool that we can go to the school and say, okay, you know, there's a growing number of students who are at this level who are really interested in AP Physics C. Can we create a course that meets their needs? And the answer is, yeah, mm-hmm. right? And I went to the school, 4 years ago now and said, okay, my background is in organic chemistry. I was a professor of organic chemistry at the college level. I saw firsthand why that class is known as a weed out class mm-hmm. that sends pre-med students running for the hills. I'm teaching high school now. I want to prepare my high school students for that experience because I don't want them to decide not to go to med school because they're afraid of organic chemistry. Mm-hmm. I want to start this course. Here's my course proposal. Here's what I would like to do. I have a number of students who are interested in it, and the school came back with, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's the, you know, one of the unique things about Parker, I think most folks know about our robotics program here that involves so much time outside of the classroom. The kids get, I mean, every time I'm here late, there's robotics kids here on campus. I'm like, you guys live here? Do you have like bags
basically, yeah.
tucked into the workshop? But there's so much STEM enrichment that happens outside of class. So what are some of the other things that happen outside of the normal school day?
Many of the students will intern with either different companies or with professors at UCSD, for example. Along with where that gets real for me is along with writing, say, letters of recommendation for my seniors who are headed off to college. Just over this last week, I've had actually quite a few letters of recommendation to write for science internships,
yeah,
different places. And they do come in waves. But it's great because then the kids, that's one of the more important things. This is something I actually wish that I had learned earlier. I did eventually learn this myself as a student, just the value in doing those internships. But our students have clearly gotten that message that that's one of the more important things that you can do as far as learning what it is you might like to do and what it would really mean to go farther in the sciences. So that's something that the students seem, you know, really pursue here.
So those internships typically take place off-site in the summer. Students would apply for them. And as far as what goes on campus, you mentioned robotics. We also have Science Olympiad, which is a science competition that students mm-hmm. can choose to participate in. And then also we have interesting opportunities for interim courses. Mm-hmm. And interim, it's a week-long short course that occurs in March, and students can elect to take interim courses or participate in the Global Studies program. But the reason I brought this up is for the past few years, Mr. Kim Wimpy and I have been running an interim course called The History of Science. Mm-hmm. And we've had students of various levels in that class. Mm-hmm. And we just talk about how did this get discovered? Why did this happen? We talk about some of the drama and the intrigue behind some of the stories that are important in science. And that's a really cool way for students of all levels to get involved in science. Mm-hmm. And it's been really, really fun. We went to the Salk Institute and took a tour. We had the students do skits. We did role play. It was really fun.
That's wonderful. Well, talking to you both makes me wish I was 14 years old again so that I could redo high school science. You clearly both just really value your students and have a passion for what you're teaching. Is there anything else that a prospective student you'd want them to know about Parker?
One thing that really has you know, stood out to me, I have three of my own kiddos go to Parker. I have four children. One of them is a little too young yet. She's only 2 months old. But the three that go here, really it's their, the peer group, the group of families that they end up interacting with. That's another way to just learn a lot about the world around you and how it works. The families can be very involved, and in particular at the lower grades, and that's really a nice thing about the school. We've all learned a lot really just because of the community, so not really just the inside the classroom part. And then the second thing I think is at the upper level, and I guess I mentioned a little of this before, but I just think it's really one thing we really get right is the students have opportunities to look around and find something, whatever it may be, that they care about and want to pursue. I think that's really a powerful thing.
I would echo that. I would say there's a spirit of creative energy on campus. Students have a lot of creative energy, so do the faculty. And I think you can kind of feel that as you walk around to people's classrooms. And that's really, it's a really cool thing to see. It's hard to describe. It's kind of intangible. But I think that you can kind of feel that when you walk into people's classrooms. Maybe it's that sort of liberal arts college feel that you were talking about earlier when you were talking about what the feel of the upper school. But I mm-hmm. think that that's really exciting for me and for students.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for sitting down with me today. And for those of you listening, you will be able to meet both Dr. Joshi and Dr. Pierce at our open house, which is on December 8th. So if you have more questions for them or you're just really excited about what they're teaching, you can feel free to join us on campus that day and get to meet our faculty. So thank you again.
Thank you
for being
here. You're welcome.